the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated. Welcome, everyone. And this week, I'm going to be doing the last in the series that I've been working through on drawing near to God. And it's been interrupted a little bit because of Easter and Palm Sunday, so we've got to stretch back a little bit in your mind to part four, but this is part five. And a central theme in all of these sermons that hopefully has come through is how central relationship is. That when you think about Christianity, and if you were to ask what really is the heart of it, that it is not a matter of something believed. It is not a matter of something done, but it is a matter of someone with whom we come into contact. That Christianity is first and foremost about relationship with God through Christ. And I've been exploring that theme in various ways. In the first week, I talked about sin and the way that that creates a barrier between us and God, and how Jesus' life and his death destroyed the barrier and opened up the way for fellowship with God. And we talked about trust and the way that God invites us in that relationship to come into trust of him and to find him faithful. Talked about prayer and talked about worship and the different ways there that, again, we can open up ourselves for more of that connection with God. And this week I want to speak finally about drawing near to God with other people, drawing near in community, because Christianity is not primarily an individual pursuit, but it is a group pursuit. It is a group activity, a team sport, if you like. And I wanted to notice with you, first of all, the way that we see an emphasis on community in Scripture. From the Old Testament up through the New, we see this idea that God is wanting to call to himself a people, not individuals, and of course it involves individuals, but he's gathering a people, the Israelites. And in the New Testament, he's gathering a people, the church, through whom he is going to make himself known to the world. And when we go all the way to the end and see the imagery of the final consummation of things, we see the church described as the bride of Christ. So there's an idea of an entity. It's comprised of individuals, but it's a unitary thing. So there's definitely a keynote there on community. And we see further the way that so much of the Christian life presupposes our investment in a community. In the New Testament, over and over, we see commands that have the form one another, love one another, support one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, care for one another, serve one another, and on it goes. And obviously, we cannot do any of those things if we are not in relationship with one another. So the presupposition of community life is there. Paul's central metaphor for what the church is, of the body, also emphasizes just how much community is central. Because if you think about what a body is, it's an organism that is for which every part is an integral part. And they function together and they don't function apart. If I take my hand and slice it off, and it's separated from the body, what happens? It utterly becomes useless. It's not going to move. It's not going to function. It's going to hurt. And it's going to be, the hand will be missing. So a hand only has its function, only does what it's supposed to do insofar as it's attached to the body. And Paul says, okay, that's the same way with you. That's the same way with me. I'm only going to be what God has really called me to be if I'm attached to, if I'm part of the body. And one of the things that's cool about this is that the body doesn't have any useless parts. It doesn't have any parts that just sit there, but everything is part of what the body is doing. And then finally, we can see in the readings even this morning, this centrality of community. And when the early church bursts onto the scene in Acts, we see this description of such intimacy. It says they were all of one mind and one heart. And so much was this so that they didn't even treat their stuff as their stuff. They said, does anyone have a need? Let me meet it. So it's kind of an amazing thing there. Even our psalm today talked about the beauty of fellowship and community. Although I don't know about you, but that psalm has always struck me as a little strange. Because for us, having oil poured onto your head and getting all over your robes and everything isn't like a good thing. But in those days, I suppose it was. So we'd have to switch that a bit for us. But the point there is that unity in fellowship is wonderful. And that's what the New Testament assumes that we are to be part of. And as you heard what I was saying with the kids up there, in natural life, we're born into a family. so that we can grow into maturity in adulthood. In our Christian life, we're also born into a family. And apart from that, we are never going to grow into maturity in adulthood in our faith. So if community life is central to Scripture, it's worth thinking a little bit about this. How is it that others bring me toward God? What is it about community life that draws us nearer to God in relationship with Him? I want to touch on just a few things here. First of all, the presence of God is mediated through others. So very often we experience God through other people. You know, the Scripture tells us that we are the hands and feet of Christ. Christ is the head of the body. And I think it's not just a quaint metaphor, but there's something very literally true about that. Maybe you've experienced one of those times where you've got something heavy on your heart and you say, you know, Kurt, would you pray for me about this? And Kurt doesn't. I feel a sense of peace. I feel a sense of love. I feel something of God's presence enter into that situation. And that comes through Kurt being willing to do that. Often we see that our needs that we call out to God for, we say, God, this need is in my life, they're met by other people in the body. So in very concrete ways, God uses us to care for other people. We see that we are served by other people. We see that we minister. And in so many ways, our tangible connection with God comes through our concrete connection with other people in the body. We just finished up the Alpha course. A few of you in the room here will know what I'm talking about. There's an interesting part in the last video where this young woman says, I go to church every Sunday. Don't miss it. And she said, and yet it's funny in a way because I don't even consider myself a Christian. But she said, why I go is the way I experience love in that community. And if there's anything that we ought to be as a community of followers of Christ, is a place where people encounter the love of God. But the love of God is kind of abstract, but when they interact with His hands and feet, then they come into contact with the love of God in a concrete way. So that's the first thing. Being in community draws us near to God because it's in community that we actually meet and come into contact with God in concrete ways. The second is that in community, the Word of God is brought to life. Richard Hayes writes a book on the New Testament. He says something very interesting there. He says, you know, in many cases, we don't even understand what the text we're reading means until we see it lived. So often we meet something in Scripture and we kind of, yeah, okay, I get that. It's abstract on the page. But when we're in community with others, we see it lived out. And we're like, okay, now I get it. So think about something like leaning on God in difficult times. So what does that actually mean? When we walk with someone else as they're doing it, then we see it. And we're like, ah, that's what it looks like to put your dependence upon God through difficult times and He gets you through. Or think about things like worship. And we know what worship looks like when we enter into worship with other people in the community. There's an experience that I had that's stuck with me. Some years ago, I was with a group of young people. Maybe some of you know YWAM. It's a kind of an evangelistic organization. And they were doing some kind of an event for teens in the town where Rachel and I lived at the time. And I happened to be a spectator to their prayer meeting, which happened before the event. And it was interesting to me because it was a group of people from all over the world. So there were people from Africa and from Australia and Asia and Europe and America who were part of this team. And as I watched them pray beforehand, it was kind of remarkable. I'd never really seen prayer like that before. It started like really quiet and it kind of crescendoed in this sort of, all of their heart and soul was into it. And what struck me about it was they all, even though there were 20 of them, they all kind of seemed on the same page of one mind about what they were praying. And then it sort of fizzled out and then it was just kind of done. No one said, okay, we're done. It's just, it was finished. And I saw that experience and I thought about what Paul says, pray together in the Spirit. And I was like, oh, maybe that's the kind of thing he's talking about there, because I had the real palpable sense that something was going on there beyond just their kind of praying, but that the Spirit was present in that group as they did it. It was a powerful experience. But when I saw that, then that allowed me to go back and see in the Word, say, ah, that's the kind of thing maybe that Paul is talking about there. So often the Word becomes alive as we see it lived in community. The truth of God is brought to bear in community. The truth of God is brought to bear. What I mean by that is it comes to be applied to me in a way that changes me. If you think about your involvement in community, and this doesn't just have to be in the church, I think about, for example, marriage. When I got married, I discovered some things about myself that I didn't know before. I discovered how self-centered I was. You know, I think back about like the years of college before that, and really everything was about me. What I wanted, I decided what I would do, what I would study, where I would go, how I would spend my money, so forth and so on. It was, no one else really entered into those decisions. And now suddenly, in the middle of a marriage, it became we. And I had to think, well, what are we going to do, and what are we going to eat, and so forth and so on. And that was an adjustment. And then kids happened. And it's like God put the pressure on that even more, and you realize, okay, at this point, nothing is about me. And God uses that experience to show us something about ourselves in order to bring change. And the same thing happens whenever we get involved in community beyond a surface level. That we'll find that, okay, I'm not as patient as I thought I was. It was fine as long as I was at the surface level, but now that I've gotten involved with these people, they're driving me nuts. Or maybe I'm more judgmental than I fancied myself to be. You know, because I've gotten involved, now I see that this kind of wells up within my heart, and on it goes. And we see in our relationships with others the things about ourselves that we do not otherwise see. And again, I think that's God's mercy. He's using community to refine us. Say, ah, okay, yeah, that is me. And then I can start to make changes there. And the other way that this works is that God also uses community to hold us accountable. Many times in my life, I've almost always been involved in a small group from the days we got married until now. Very important to me. And what happens in that group is that people know you and they can hold you accountable. They can say, you know, you were telling me a few weeks ago about that situation. How's that going? Or you told us all a month ago that from now on you're going to read the Bible every day. How's that worked for you? And you have some accountability that helps you transform good intentions into actual changes and results in your life. So through community, we the truth of God is brought to bear. And then finally, in community, we can discover and use the gifts that God has given to us. Thinking again of the metaphor of the body, Paul says in that passage, God has given to every bit of the body something to do. There are no useless parts of the body. And one of the great joys that we have in the body, in fellowship, is to see God actually use us in those ways that we're wired to be used. When we discover that, oh, you know, Paul has lists of these things. Some of you are administrators, some of you are teachers, some of you are intercessors and pray for others, some of you are gifted in giving and so forth and so on. In the body, we come to discover how God has wired us. And when we are serving in those ways that God has given us to do, we find great satisfaction and joy in that. And again, if we're not in a body, we'll just never know. So all of these ways are ways that God uses other people to draw us further into the life with Him. And I think it's useful to think about, okay, what are the obstacles that get in the way of this? It's such a wonderful thing. Why don't we engage in it more? And I can think of a couple of things here that are important, what you might call community obstacles. And the first one is probably the biggest one, is just apathy. One of the trends in our overall culture that has been very evident now for several decades is a decrease in relationships. So any way you want to measure this, participation in civic organizations, participation in religious organizations, the number of friends that people say that they have, all of these things have gone down, down, down year upon year. People in America have fewer and fewer close social connections. So I think it's useful to recognize that in some way, striving for community, we're swimming upstream in the world in which we live. And we can think of lots of reasons for that, but it's a reality. And so if we just say, if we're not going to intentionally go after community, we're not going to have it. We've got to really pursue it. Rick Warren puts it this way. He says, community is built not on convenience. So in other words, well, we'll get together when I feel like it. But it's built on the conviction that I need it for my spiritual health. We have to have the attitude toward a community that's not a nice added-on bonus, but it's something central to the life to which God has called us. Apathy is a great obstacle to community. Intentionality is what is going to allow us to enter into it. And the other thing I think that often really gets in the way is a fear of vulnerability. There's an interesting TED talk that someone recommended to me recently by a woman named Brené Brown. It's called The Power of Vulnerability. And she is someone who studies relationships and connection. But she begins by noting the same thing. Look, our connections are getting weaker and weaker and fewer and fewer. And she said, one of the things that I found in my research that's the greatest obstacle to it is people's fear of vulnerability. And vulnerability, on the other hand, is the most necessary condition to real community. I have to be willing to say to you what's really going on, who I really am, what I'm really feeling, what I'm really thinking. And conversely, you have to be willing to do that too. If we don't do that, we always will stay on the surface. And I think there are some things here that help, because there's a natural fear that we have of exposing ourselves. And one of the things that helps is that we recognize, hopefully in Christ, that's where we find our value and security, because often I don't want you to see who I am because my sense of value is built up on a facade that I have. And yet in Christ, Christ says, don't worry about your facades. I know you completely and I value you as you are. And if we can really grab hold of that, then we can let down the guard and be vulnerable amongst others. And the other thing I think is so important here is that we need to be a community in which people are safe to be vulnerable. There's a few people have said to me in the past couple of years who've gone to Celebrate Recovery, which is a ministry. It meets on Friday nights at the Cornerstone at Time. And it's designed to be a place for people who are struggling with addictions of various kinds to go and kind of work on those things together. And what these people told me that I was struck by is they said, I love it because when I go there, I can just be who I am. I can be honest about what I'm struggling with. I can be honest about where I am. And everyone is honest in that way. And it's a community where it's safe and I can be prayed for and I can be encouraged. And my thought always is, well, that ought to be every church community. A place where we can just be honest about who we are, about what we're dealing with, and we can receive encouragement and prayer by other people. And I think the things that we really need to watch out for if we're going to have that kind of vulnerability is we need to not be a place of gossip. We need to be a place of forgiveness. We need to be a place where we do not have a critical spirit. Because all of those things are kind of community killers that make us say, okay, I'm not going to let down my guard because I don't know what you're going to do if I do. And this comes back to the thing I said initially about experiencing the love of God in community. The more we do that, the more we will find vulnerability possible, and the more then we will enter into this relationship. I want to say something here at the end about maybe how to enter more deeply into the benefits of fellowship. Because you know, Sunday morning is a wonderful thing, and I'm glad that you're all here, and I love the interactions that we have on Sunday morning. But they only go so far. You know, we're not going to probably, you guys aren't going to turn in the pew and get into like sort of the nitty-gritty of what's going on in your life. It just isn't really the time or the space for that. And oftentimes the greatest benefits of community come not here, but they come in the small group setting outside of church. This week is men's breakfast on Wednesday morning. That's a setting like that. Mug and Muffin, as you'll hear about later, is coming up on Saturday. That's a setting like that. Places where we can get in a smaller group with a little bit more time to then start to really be honest. And I wanted, there's a couple of people, you know who you are. I wanted you to go ahead and come on up here because I wanted to ask you just something about this. It's kind of the interview part. So these are the brave ones. Okay, we have two more. Awesome. Who are willing to come up. This should work. There have been lots of you I know who have been involved in small groups at one point or another here at St. Peter's or maybe in someplace else that could speak to the benefits of that. But I just sent an email out to a few folks here who I know have been part of a small group for 2.5 years mm-hmm. now. And the question that I wanted to ask, a very simple one, is just, as you think about that experience, and this is sort of an advertisement in a way, how has that helped you to grow closer to God? What has that done for that relationship? So whoever wants to speak to
I guess it. I'm first, so. All right, well, in thinking of small group, as God is so good at doing, he far exceeds my greatest expectation, and he truly did in our small group, and we faced some of the obstacles that Dr. Jane mentioned, but how I see a small group is the seeds are planted here in the larger body of Christ, and then in a small group, they can take root and flourish and grow. And that's what we've seen, far beyond what I had expected. And I think we learn so much from other people. And being a teacher, learning is, I believe learning takes place when you're engaged. And you are able to engage on a deeper level in a small group. And it starts here and then it flourishes in the small group. So for me, small group is spiritual growth. And I'd highly recommend it.
Anyone else want to add your two cents?
Yeah, sure. I thought I was going to give a sermon, so I brought a lot of notes. What I wanted to say, and I did want to make notes because I didn't want to forget about it, but the small group, the closeness, for me, it translates to a deeper connection to Christ. And then the personalized time with our prayer group and the deep prayer within our group, it brings a closeness and this personal understanding, because we all see each other and we think, well, you know, this person's perfect and this one's this, and you don't realize the things that they actually go through. So when you have that, you know, when you hear that, I mean, you have these triumphs, and then you also have these awful, sometimes, you know, tribulations, these bad things. And what it does is it allows for you to genuinely get to know them and pray for them, and it strengthens your own faith and it strengthens your group's faith. So it's been an incredible opportunity. The other thing is just that I really think that the small group study, you know, we pray as a group each week, but I think it also, actually, when you go back home and you pray with your spouse, I think it strengthens your marriage as well. So there's all kinds of other benefits with it, not just the small group.
Okay. So what I get out of our small group is the relationships. I think everything is about relationships and that love we can have for each other. And so our small group has become like a family, an extended family. And we do pray for each other. Sometimes there will be a text message that goes out to every one of us that is a devotion somebody read that thought, oh, I thought of you and I thought all of you would like this. So we do those kind of things. And even when we're studying the Bible, there might be things that one of us hasn't understood that another might say, well, this is how I look at it. So it does help you really live your faith. And then we've even expanded that to go where we go out to other places, like maybe we'll sing for those who are in nursing homes at Christmas time, or provide a dinner for somebody that is just needing extra support. So a lot of growth that's come about, and a lot of really strong friendships, and that vulnerability has been a thing, and it helps us to have greater love for each other.
Well, I would just put in a plug for men's group. We have food together, which, you know, biblically, that's always a big thing, the wedding, Cana, the feast, etc. And I think you develop friendships and you dig into Scripture a little deeper than you would individually. And we've been in Romans, which is not easy to unpack. And when you have a group of guys there that are all on the trying to achieve the same things, understand it, I think it helps to share and just develop those relationships. So I would just echo what our group has said, but if any of the gentlemen here would like to come, it's Wednesday morning. This coming Wednesday, yeah.
Great, thank you. And you guys can hang here for just one moment, because you kind of my exhibit up here. So and you'll sing the song we talked about. So what I wanted to say is this: if that sounds, you know, all of this sounds good, and you say, I'd like to be part of that, I'd like to be intentional and make that more of my Christian life, I want to do everything that I can to help facilitate that opportunity. So what I'd ask you to do, this takes a little intentionality, is send me an email. It's in the bulletin, you'll see it in the back, but if you're thinking, yeah, I want to be plugged into a small group, send that out to me, and that's all you have to say. And I'm going to then kind of see who I get and try to create some opportunities for you to be plugged in that way. And something I think is helpful to say here, you wouldn't be committing to like an indefinite thing. Oftentimes, there's a few studies that maybe are good ones to start that might be like 6 weeks. So I say, well, put my foot in the water and try that for 6 weeks and kind of see how it goes. And there are seasons where you have space and seasons you don't. But I really encourage you. You heard what they had to say about it. I know in my own life, small group setting has been the most important place of growth for me consistently. So I would very much encourage you to dive into that and experience a little bit more of what God is able to give of himself to us through community. Let's close in prayer. Father, we give you thanks that you want us to know you. We give you thanks that you invite us into relationship and that, Lord, you do it through others, that we are not called to walk alone, but with our brothers and sisters. We ask, Lord, that you would give us a heart to pursue those things. Lord, that you would clear away obstacles that stand in our way and that you would give us the opportunity so that we might experience the full blessings that you have for us in that way. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Thanks, Mike.